Coming up on Broadway Radio, a special series of interviews with the creators of theatrically themed podcasts. In our second interview in the series, we talk with Patrick Hines of the Theater People podcast. With us today, we have a very special guest, one of my favorite people in the world. Patrick Hines is here from the Theater People podcast. Patrick, good morning.
Hi, how are you?
Oh, I'm wonderful. So I am a big fan of the Theater People podcast, and we've talked about that before, and we've mentioned it on Broadway Radio. But for those who have not listened to the Theater People podcast, why don't you give us a quick rundown of what they can expect and what you're trying to do?
Sure. Well, our tagline is interviews with Tony winners, Broadway legends, and today's hottest theater stars. Pretty much what we do, you know, we call them long form interviews. You know, they run about 45 to 52 minutes with, you know, people you've heard of from the theater. So, you know, it ends up being mostly people that I'm sort of obsessed with. So we get, you know, big name actors and directors and composers. And we kind of just like sit them down and ask. I approach it as though I met them at a party, but at a party where I'm allowed to ask them anything I want to know. And we edit it together with music from the shows that they've done. And, you know, we try to make it sound as professional as possible and as fun as possible. And it's, you know, it's fun and it's light, but we do, you know, we get into not just their successes, but we get into their sort of their hard times and how they overcame them. And, you know, it's proven to be a really cool resource for, you know, like students or just anybody who's trying to make their way in the world of professional theater. And also just for people like me who aren't actors and aren't involved in the theater in any professional way, but just really love theater. And yeah, that's pretty much what we do.
Well, that is awesome. You know, how did you come up with this, this idea to create a podcast to do this? What was the impetus right behind it?
You know, I sort of discovered podcasts like 3 or 4 years ago, and I always loved podcasts. And there used to be this great podcast by the American Theater Wing called Downstage Center.
Oh, yeah. Howard Sherman's podcast?
Yeah, exactly. He was such a good interviewer. And you know, and he sort of did it first, where they would get all like the big, fancy, famous Broadway people and sit them down for an interview. And I loved it. I listened to like every single episode. And then one day it just like disappeared. And I just, you know, would like every day, like check to see if it would come back, or was expecting another, you know, person to sort of pick up the torch and start another podcast like that. And it never happened. And so I kind of decided that I didn't have a kid yet. So I thought, I'm going to do this. And I had no idea if it would work. And I bought a whole bunch of, you know, fancy, expensive equipment that I could really afford. And thanks to, you know, fabulous humans like you who taught me how to use it, we ended up making it sound okay. And that's kind of like, you know, that's kind of why we did it. We did it because we wanted a podcast to exist where these, like, you know, big name successful theater people could come and tell their stories. And really we did it because nobody else was doing it. And and it's been a steep learning curve. I mean, in the beginning our episodes didn't sound very good, and, you know, we were booking like great people right out of the gate. Like our first ever guest was Katie Huffman, who won the Tony for The Producers. And like our third guest was Annalee Ashford. And then we had Laura Osnes right after that. I mean, we were booking really great people. We just, you know, we were just learning as we went. And so I always say that, you know, even today, every episode I think that we make sounds better than the last.
Sure. Just a little note for you is that I was chatting with Howard Sherman and he's trying to start it up again.
Oh, that's great.
Isn't that awesome?
It is awesome. I had heard that somewhere. I think I'd read that somewhere. The thing that we do a little bit differently from Downstage Center, I mean, what I loved about Downstage Center was that it was really focused on, you know, these people's careers in the theater. And our idea was a little bit different, which was we had the idea that it was going to be like a talk show, like where they could come and promote what they were doing or, you know, things that they had done, but also just kind of chat about their lives. And, you know, we just released our episode with Martha Plimpton, who of course was like, you know, done everybody's favorite movies from like the 80s and 90s. So we wanted to talk about that a little bit. And, you know, she's also a big, you know, women's reproductive rights activist. And we definitely wanted to talk about that as well. So that's kind of how our show is a little bit different from what Howard was doing. But what Howard does is fantastic as well.
So you also said that you started this before you became a dad.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, how do you split up the time now? I mean, a new dad, you guys, you have multiple hats on now, you know, working and doing a podcast and bringing up Daisy and doing.
Yeah. You know, I got to say, I have a very supportive husband, my husband, Steve, who, you know, also loves being a dad, but also loves the theater. So somehow we make it work. I don't really know. I mean, you know, I work full time. He's a full time student. He's almost done. He's getting his second degree. And we've got Daisy, and it's crazy. Somehow, you know, we've got a lot of help with the podcast. We have two great producers, Mike Jensen and Vanya Arslanian. So, you know, they do as much heavy lifting as I do. I think it works because we love it. I think if we didn't love it, we wouldn't be able to do it because it is exhausting. And you know, we've had to get better about like time management, you know, so we'll try to do like two interviews in one day, as opposed to doing, you know, one and then release an episode and then another and release an episode. So we've definitely had to get creative with our time, but you know, I guess I'm just lucky that I've got a lot of support. So it couldn't be done without that.
Tell me, how long ago did you start the podcast?
We started, our first episode came out in January, I want to say it was like January 8th or 9th of 2014. So a little about a year and a half ago, although we started pre-production, you know, 2 months before that.
And how many shows have you released, you know?
We just released our 33rd episode with Martha. And we actually just launched a Kickstarter campaign to keep the show going for another year because it's proven to be very expensive.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I know how expensive. Yes.
Yeah. It's funny because, you know, it's interesting because thank God podcasts are free, you know, but I think that because podcasts are free, listeners, myself included, don't always, you know, take into account the expense of creating them, you know? What was I even saying? I don't know. But yeah, we started about a year and a half ago, and
you were saying how many episodes you had released.
Oh, right. What I was going to say was that, you know, we typically do like every 2 weeks, but over the course of our Kickstarter, we're doing one a week for 4 weeks. So we just did Martha's just came out. Next week, we're releasing our episode with Elaine Page. The following week, we have Tony Yazbek, and then the following week, we have the great composer Janine Tesori.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's a great lineup of people. I'm so excited.
Thank you.
I can't wait, you know, every morning I look at my iPhone and say, what's coming? What's coming?
Oh, that's so nice.
Oh,
it's
iPhone.
So nice to
know
that you listen.
Oh, yeah. You know, I'm a huge fan. Huge fan. Of course.
Well, you're part of the reason we were able to do it. We called you in a panic a year ago and we were like, James, they say you know how to make it sound good. Please help us.
We're all learning as we're going. All of us. So what's your schedule like? You mentioned that maybe you'll back up two interviews in one day and things like that. So do you, you know, are your podcasts are about an hour or a little less than an hour?
The idea initially was to keep it about the length of what we imagine your train commute is on the subway. Uh-huh. We know that you know, we've listeners, like actually we know now that we've listeners all over the world. So we know that not everybody is commuting in New York City, but you know, the idea was to keep it about 45 minutes. I don't think we've ever been able to do that, but definitely under an hour. I always imagine that if somebody like were to, you know, like the podcast downloads their iPhone and they look at it and it says like 1 hour and 1 minute, it doesn't matter if it's Meryl Streep, you're not listening to it. It's just too long, you know?
Yeah.
So we try to keep it, you know, we try to keep it to 55 minutes max.
Yeah, you know, on our side, you know, we have Peter Felicia, Michael Portantier, mm-hmm. and I, and then we typically have a guest we'll talk to for a few minutes. And on paper, every Sunday morning, we have a rundown that brings it in at under an hour. And, you know, I'm always staring at the editing screen at 45 and things like that. And I said, oh, what are we going to do here? So I feel your pain.
I know it's so hard. I was
and
just
what do you cut? Because you're like, oh, everything is so wonderful.
I know, and I was just editing the episode with Elaine Page. And I mean, my goodness, she's Elaine Page, you know what I mean? Like, if she wants to talk for 5 days, you just give her a canteen of water and let her do it. But, you know, it was really hard to figure out what to cut. And I was just saying to my husband, Steve, like, I would really like to figure out a way, someday we're going to figure out a way to, you know, release the stuff that we did cut, like as a bonus, just like on the website somehow, so people can hear these, you know, great stories. But yeah, it's really hard. It's really hard to figure out what to cut.
We were doing a This Week on Broadway a few weeks ago, and Karen Morrow was joining us from the West Coast. So we recorded Karen's segment on a Monday night, but we record the rest of our show on a Sunday. And Karen was scheduled to be, you know, we do basically 15-minute segments. And so we scheduled Karen for 15 minutes. And it was like an hour and a half. And I was like, so we released just a Karen Morrow show without our reviews and news and things like that, as well as a standalone episode, because we were like, well, you know, it's Karen Morrow. You don't cut Karen Morrow.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I mean, how do you even do that?
Exactly. So tell me about, so you record these things, and what's your process? Do you guys get together and edit it together, or do you take individual edits and then listen to each other's stuff? Or, you know, how long does it take to put together? You know, what's the show behind the show, so that the listeners understand how much work to it?
You know, it's a lot of work. I mean, it's really about, I was trying to estimate yesterday. I mean, it seemed like it takes about 8 hours per episode. And that includes, you know, the sort of exhaustive research that we do. And then, and, you know, the other thing is, you know, because we do our interviews in person, I have like literally 75 pounds of equipment that I have to like lug, you know, down the subway steps to Midtown to Pearl Studios and then up the subway steps. And, you know, sometimes I've got the baby attached to me as well. And then, you know, we sit and we do our interview, and I'm a nervous wreck for, you know, the 10 minutes before the subject gets there. And then, you know, the interview takes about an hour. And then interestingly enough, sometimes when the interview is over, like these big famous Broadway stars just want to like hang out, which always is astonishing to me that they just, you know, that they're like, oh, I've got a half an hour before my call. So I'm going to like hang out with you guys for a little bit. And then like, there we are just like, you know, chit chatting with like Laura Osnes for 40 minutes, which is always amazing. And then, you know, the idea initially was, you know, once the interview itself was over, I wanted to be done. I wanted to then turn over creative control to the producers, you know, who love the theater and know these people as well as I do. So, you know, there was full trust that they would, you know, I kind of wanted them to be able to take ownership of the episode, which is what they definitely do. So depending on who's editing the episode, right now it's either me or Mike Jensen. You know, that's kind of it. So if I do the episode, I'll sit and edit and add the music, and then I'll, you know, we share our stuff via Dropbox. So I'll put it in the Dropbox. He'll listen to it. He'll give me any notes. I'll change it. Or if he does it, then, you know, he'll edit, put it in the Dropbox. Yeah. And then we put it up, and it's always, you know, we put up our episodes on Sunday mornings, you know, so that our subscribers can have them before it comes up on Monday. And it's always a scramble on Monday morning. It's always, you know, a scramble to like put the finishing touches and get it done and get it up in the morning before I have to run out the door for work. So it's, you know, it's a mad dash to the finish line every time.
Tell me about Patrick Hines. Where are you from?
I grew up on Cape Cod in Massachusetts. It's so funny. People always think it's fancy. Every time I tell somebody that I grew up in Cape Cod, they're like, oh, I have a house there, which is not my growing up experience. Yeah, exactly. I grew up in the working class town, as I say. And then I went to college at Emerson College in Boston.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah. And then I moved to New York literally 3 or 4 days after I left school. I was an acting major in college for about 2 minutes, and then I realized I was terrible at it. And I switched to like communications and journalism. And I got a job, working for CNBC, believe it or not. That's what brought me to New York.
Wow.
Yeah. And I did that for about a year. And then I decided I wanted to pursue writing. So I left that job and sort of did the, you know, I got like a bar backing job down in the village, and, you know, ultimately eventually became a bartender. And I pursued writing, and I did well in terms of, you know, I had 2 books that were published by, you know, like legit publishers. But I never, you know, I made very, very little money as a writer. And then I became a hotel concierge, which is what I do now. And, you know, along with the podcast and being a dad. And soon, in September, believe it or not, this is probably going to sound insane to you, but I'm opening a home daycare so I can stay home with Daisy.
Congratulations. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's really exciting. I you know, Steve and I are adopting Daisy through foster care. So we, you know, I just sort of like fell in love with kids through that process. And so, you know, I also very much have that stay at home parent thing, you know, mm-hmm. like that is really what I want to be doing. You know, Daisy's in daycare 2 days a week now, and I just hate it. I mean, it's a perfectly fine.
No,
daycare.
I understand. Exactly. You'd hate to be away. Absolutely.
Exactly. Yeah. And so I just decided to do it. And I went through all of the training and certifications and, you know, I have my license and I'm set and ready to go to have a daycare in my 2-bedroom Manhattan apartment.
Oh my goodness. Oh, yay.
Yeah. It's going to be really fun. I'm really looking forward to it.
Did you see King and I yet with Kelly O'Hara?
I haven't seen King and I. You know, I hear it's pretty much the only thing I haven't seen this season, but I hear it's phenomenal.
It is. I saw it last night, and mm-hmm. I only bring this up because they have so many kids in totally. the King and I. The cast, I think there was 50 people in the cast last night at Curtain Call.
That is
just
amazing.
Absolutely amazing. It's nice when you don't have to meet a budget for a nonprofit theater.
I was just thinking that. I was like, how are they affording 50 actors?
Well, you know, Lincoln Center doesn't pay Broadway scale because mm-hmm. they're League of Resident right. Theater. So that's a whole other discussion. We're here to talk about Patrick, not about that.
Theater
but
politics.
But the thing is, when they did the Getting to Know You sequence mm-hmm. Scene and Kelly sang the Getting to Know You and the kids all went to her, I got all choked up in a lump in my – I'm getting choked up right now. It's so beautiful.
Yeah,
and the thing is that I don't think, you know, 10 years ago when I didn't have children that I would have that same reaction now. Mm-hmm. It's such a different thing. And here I am. For listeners out there without children, I am with you. When my friends talked about their kids, I was like, kill me now.
Yep.
But
I was the same way.
It's so different now. So anyway.
Yeah, I never wanted kids. We never wanted kids. You know, excuse me. We used to talk about how we wanted to go on vacations and name them. And we just never wanted kids. And then one day, a couple years ago, like three years ago or so, we were visiting my mom on Cape Cod and we were at a stoplight. And I said something to the effect of like, aren't you glad we don't have kids? And Steve was quiet for a second. And he was like, well, I don't know. And then within like a minute, I was like, okay, when do we get a kid? How do we do this? I want my baby now.
You go to the baby store and you get a baby.
Exactly.
All right. So, you know, what are your – back to the podcast, the Theater People podcast. Tell me what your goals are for the podcast. Do you really have any long-term things that you're like, oh, this is what I would like to do and –
You know, honestly, you know, I know there are a lot of podcasters out there who have their sights set on NPR, you know, getting, you know, national distribution. We're not interested in that. We don't, you know, we want to keep producing a podcast that is fun, that's interesting, that's informative. And I'm not like trying to plug my Kickstarter, but the reason we launched the Kickstarter is because we just want to break even. You know, we're not looking to make a profit. We just want to keep making this thing that I think people have found valuable. So, you know, that's kind of our goal, is just to like keep having fun. There's, you know, we certainly have like a dream checklist that like I always say that like, so when we get Sutton Foster on the podcast, I guess when that interview is over, we just sell the equipment because it's done, you know? So, yeah, I mean, you know, we've had amazing – we're so grateful for everybody who says yes and does the show. But that's kind of our goal. We want to just, you know, keep – producing something fun and interesting and entertaining. I mean, you know, we certainly would like to do more live events. We had a really successful live show last year with Laura Osnes. She came back and was our guest, and Ellen Marsh, of course, performed. It was just so fun. It was so nice to meet the listeners. And, you know, we'd like to do more with that. We would definitely like to get, you know, listeners more involved. And it's a really fun thing to, like, you know, try to bring listeners into contact with their like theater heroes. And that was a really fun thing to see. So I think we would like to focus a little bit more energy on being able to bring these theater stars together with the people who really love them.
Do you get all like really lightheaded and warm and fuzzy when Laura Osnes is around?
I do. Oh my God, James, when she said yes to the podcast initially, we our friend Bradley, who wrote our theme music, is friends with her. They believe it or not, they were doing Grease at Dinner Theater when Laura went and auditioned for the reality show. And so when Bradley in the very beginning was like, oh, do you guys want me to ask Laura? And I was like, yeah, she's never going to do it, but sure. And he asked her and she said yes. And then one day I got an email from her, like her name popped up in my email box and I about fell off my chair. I couldn't believe it. And then on the day of the interview, I was literally, and this is not exaggeration, I was sick to my stomach. I was absolutely terrified, like questioning all of my life choices that had led me to the point that made me think that I was in any way qualified to interview Laura Osnes. And, you know, I've told this story before that she was there, like it was a snowstorm. It was like a blizzard. She was there 15 minutes early and she's like, oh, I just wanted to leave early to make sure I didn't know how the trains were running. Like she just couldn't have been nicer and so sweet and gracious. And she sang for us on her episode. And then when I asked her if she would come back and do our live show, again, I was like, she's never going to do this. But she did. She committed like, you know, 4 months ahead of time. And then, oh my goodness, she was asked to do, I think I can say this now because I think it's been public, but she was asked to do a reading of Somewhere in Time. It was like the producer's reading. Mm-hmm. And she said she emailed me and told me that she told the producers she would do it, but it was the same night as our podcast, so they had to change the time. Can you believe that? Yeah. So they pushed it back like a half an hour so that she could come and do our live episode. And yeah, when she walked in the door, you know, at our live episode, like I just get crazy when I'm around her. I just become a totally insane person because she's like the most beautiful, the most talented, the sweetest, the funniest. She held Daisy, you know, I took 100 pictures. Mm-hmm. You know, she's just, I could talk about Laura forever.
She is the balance for all that is evil in the world.
Absolutely. There's just no other way to say it. She's just, you know, and she walks in the door knowing everybody's name. You know, she remembered my name. She remembered my husband's name. She, you know, she just knows, and she asks, you know, questions about whatever regarding the last time she saw you. She just cares. She totally cares and is just the nicest.
So a little bit, let's pull the curtain back and take a look at the Wizard of Oz type of thing. I know because on our side, you know, every now and then we have a total train wreck of a show. You know, we have an unreleased show. I think that I've mentioned this before. We interviewed Leia Salonga, who took an hour out of her lunch break. She was doing like a 10 out of 12, and she took an hour out of her lunch break to talk to us, and the sound was, there was something wrong with the sound, and the sound was unusable.
Oh no.
And we had a whole hour. We didn't realize it until we went back to edit.
God.
And so we lost that whole show, and it's a total train wreck. But, you know, have you had anything that has happened that has been like, you know, in retrospect, at the time of it, it was kind of crazy and we're like, oh my God, this is the end of the world. But in retrospect, it's kind of like, oh my goodness, that was such a learning experience, or that was really funny.
You know, I feel like every time you've seen the equipment that we use, you know, every time I plug in the equipment and I turn it on and it works, it's like a little mirror. You know what I mean? Yeah. Because, and I said this to you, you know, when you were there, like if it were to not work, I would have no idea how to fix it. You know, like when we bought our equipment from B&H and they were so sweet and they walked us through how to put it together. If it ever doesn't work, we're just screwed. And so luckily, you know, I always, you know, get to the space, I say 30 minutes before the interviewee arrives, but it's really like 2 days before they get. I get there so early to like set everything up and, you know, make sure it works. So luckily, by the time the person walks in the door, we haven't had like anything like that happen. Only because only by the grace of God and Laura Osnes, you know, because I don't know why it works every time, but it does. I will say though, oh God, this is so embarrassing, and it only has to do with the fact that she's a big star, and I was nervous. We were interviewing Alison Fraser not long ago, and she was there. She was coming to talk to us about her. She has a whole album of like songs from Tennessee Williams plays. She did like a one-woman show. So cool. But we came in the door, and you know, I was starstruck like I always am. And she sat down, and we got to talking. And just as we were starting, I completely forgot her name. Like. completely forgot her name. And it's not for any reason other than I was so nervous because she's such a big star, you know? And I, you know how I always, I'm like this big queen, and every time I start, I'm like, Alison Frazier, thank you so much for being on the Theater People podcast. And I couldn't, I just froze. I froze, and I knew my producer, Mike, I knew that he knew what was happening. He knew that I had no idea what her name was out of nowhere. And she, thank God, she had her CD. She had, like, pulled her CD out of her bag and put it on the table so I could look at it. And I took a deep breath, and I was like, oh, I just want to take a look at this real quick before we start. So I saw her name, and we went. And that, like, that was absolutely – so now, you know
– Well, thank goodness she didn't call her Tennessee Williams.
Right. Tennessee Williams, it is an honor to have you on the show. You look good, girl. I'm trying to think of, like, if there's been anything else like that that has happened. I mean, oh, you know, we were just interviewing Martha last week, and I can't remember the specifics, but she'd mentioned a play and the director, and I thought I was so smart because I knew the director, and I was going to have a whole other conversation about other things that this person has directed. And I completely was talking about the wrong person. Like, just completely, she was talking about this director, and I had conflated him with another director, and she looked at me like I was insane. And it just, like, completely threw me off. I was like, no, we're just going to cut this whole thing out. So that happens a lot. I'm an idiot a lot, and we have to do a lot of creative editing.
It was really funny. I think so before Skylight was announced, was it Bill Nye and Skylight? Yes, yeah. And so somebody was talking, we off the cuff said it on the podcast. Somebody was like, oh, Bill Nye's going to be in Skylight. I was like, Bill Nye, the science guy?
Right, that's exactly.
And so I went off on this whole tangent about Bill Nye, the science guy, and it wasn't Bill. It was the other Bill Nye, the actor. And I was like, that's so straight. And of course, you know, our listeners get to us very quickly. You know, we release on Sunday. Sunday morning, we'll release. And, you know, Sunday, just before noon, I'll start getting emails saying, you know, you kind of got this wrong and kind of got that wrong. You know, it's nothing. Huh? Isn't it exciting to get emails from, like, you know, Australia and the Middle East and Europe and Asia?
I'm always shocked every time that I check, like, our download numbers. I'm like, anybody is listening to this? Like, I can't believe it.
Yeah.
The other thing I was going to say was, you know, my husband will always, he can always tell when I don't know what they're talking about. Like, I'm not like a musical theater file. Like, I didn't grow up reading, you know, Sondheim's biographies. And, I just like theater, but I'm not like, I don't know a ton about the history. So every time someone is talking about, like, a choreographer from yesteryear that's really well known that I should know of, but I clearly don't, Steve is always like, I know you don't know who that person is. You know, and I'm like having a conversation with the guest as though I just finish their biography. It's funny.
So Patrick, tell folks how we can catch up with the Theater People at podcast. What's your website?
So our website is www.theaterpeople.com. And I always say it's theater with an ERPPL.com.
And we'll have a link to that in the show notes in case you've can't find that.
Do you mind if I plug my Kickstarter real quick?
No, I was going to ask you about that next. Is that, you know, tell us about your Kickstarter and how we can help.
Yeah, thank you. So, okay. So, you know, we did the math and we realized that, you know, just in getting the podcast off the ground and having it running for the last year and a half, we spent about $8,000 so far. And we figured out that the cost of running the podcast for a year is about $5,000. And we outline on our Kickstarter page exactly where we get those numbers. So, you know, you don't think we're just, you know, throwing a big number at you. And so we're doing a Kickstarter to help keep the show running for another year, because all of that money has come directly out of my pocket. And I've given it, you know, gleefully. This has been the, you know, greatest creative adventure of my life. But we need help. We need help to fund it, or we're not sure if we're going to be able to keep doing it. So, you know, we've reached out to a lot of our former guests, and we've got some really great incentives, like Leslie Margarita will do your outgoing voicemail message. I think that's like a $40 donation. We had CDs personalized by Eden Espinosa, but they went fast, so they're gone. We have the opportunity to promote, you know, whatever you want to promote, your play, your, you know, your class, your book, or just spend, you know, send a special message for $25 on our podcast. So we've got really cool incentives to donate. And truly, we're grateful for any amount. So that, you know, you can find the link to our Kickstarter page on our Facebook, on our website. You know, basically, I'm just obsessively, you know, tweeting about it too. So we've got 26 or 7 days to go. And we, so far, we've raised just under $1,700. So, so, you know, we appreciate any help.
Rock and roll. That's awesome.
Thanks, Jan. Thank you for letting me talk about it.
Absolutely. So I'm so excited. I think it's really important that all the theater podcasts do well. I don't think that we're in competition with each other. We're part of a community. And as the community grows, that it's good for everybody. So I'm really excited that you had some time to spend with us and our listeners. And our listeners, please get over and, you know, download an episode and take a listen to it, because you're going to get addicted like I am.
Thank you, James. This has been the funnest half hour of my life.
Oh, thank you, Patrick. It's so good to talk with you. And we'll talk soon, okay?
I look forward to it. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.